Bonjour. Ming Laba. This is a new one for me. Asubuhi Gemma. Buenos dias. Good morning, church. I'm Chris. I'm the pastor at Abidal Christian Fellowship, and it's my joy to be preaching to you this morning. And preaching this series called Becoming Like Jesus Means, and then this blank. That's our fall series. And today we are filling in that blank with I am filled. If we're going to live as Jesus lives, as we're going to live as Jesus modeled how we are to live, then we are to be filled as Jesus was filled with the Holy Spirit. We heard that in our scripture reading today, in the baptism of Jesus, and then into his temptation and his ministry, Jesus was moved and empowered by the Spirit. And then we read from John, after the resurrection, Jesus coming to be with his disciples and then breathing on them, saying, as I was sent, so I send you, and giving them the Spirit. Now, we often talk about that passage, especially with mission and work, linking it to the Great Commission. And that's true. And if you're excited for that, then you need to come back next week. Next week, we'll hear more about how becoming like Jesus means that we are sent by the Spirit. But today we're going to focus on how becoming like Jesus means that we are filled as Jesus was filled by the Holy Spirit to live as Jesus lived. So, filled in the wilderness. Let's go back to that baptism story. When Jesus is baptized, the Spirit, it says, descends on Jesus like a dove. And a voice comes from heaven saying, this is my Son in whom I am pleased. Jesus is fully God. To see Jesus is to see who God is. And Jesus is also fully human. To see Jesus is also to see what it means and looks like to be human. To live as a human then, faithful to the ways of God, pleasing the Father, is to live a life filled with God's Spirit. And if there was any doubt at all on the Spirit's role and power for Jesus, we can just kind of follow the life of Jesus after his baptism. Now, most of our translations say that the Spirit led Jesus into the wilderness. This is one of those points, if you have a pencil, you should like write in things. It should be like thrust, forced. Have you ever been, again, I'm not saying Jesus was unwilling to do this, but like, I want you to imagine like someone like pushing, like getting someone out there. Like you've like taking by the hand and be like, you're going here. Okay, that's the leading of the Spirit in this moment for Jesus. And there he is for 40 days of fasting and temptation. And what sustains Jesus in the wilderness? I make this mistake sometimes. Who sustains Jesus in the wilderness? The Spirit, yeah. Who leads Jesus in the wilderness? Who is there to guide and offer wisdom and encouragement when faced with temptation? And with nothing around Jesus, who filled that place of emptiness to sustain Jesus in such an ordeal? Yeah, and it was crucial, we are told by Scripture, for Jesus to undergo such testing. And who orchestrated it all? Spirit. Now, before we get back to why it's so crucial, I want to take a little quick side trail, to highlight what is happening to Jesus in the wilderness. So when you hear wilderness, what is it you picture? Okay, I got a couple of pictures up there. If you're like me, you picture like trees, wildlife, like a space full of like things growing and living, but no humans. Yeah, anyone else like that when you picture wilderness? Okay, biblically, wilderness is not that. It's basically a desert. Wilderness in Scripture is like the other picture, where it's like, I don't know if you can see some trees barely holding on because there's this dried riverbed from the seasonal rains that came, and there is just rock and sand and brown and nothing. That's the kind of wilderness Jesus was sent into. In the Bible, the wilderness is a desert place, a nowhere place with nothing to sustain life. Wilderness, according to Scripture, is where we end up when we are apart from God. In the wilderness, throughout Scripture, God's people are tested there. Their character emerges and provides an opportunity for refinement. Why does this keep happening with wilderness again and again and again? Because that's where we are. Because people are sinful, you and me. And we often forget that our sin comes about when we fail to realize the relationship we have with our Creator. It's one of dependence. When we were first made, formed in the loving hands of God, as we sang this morning, God, you're not afraid to get your hands in the dirt. That goes back to Genesis, our creation. God lovingly reached into the dirt and formed this first one of us. And then God breathed into this dirt thing, and it became a living creature, the first human being. We are God-breathed creatures, dependent upon His Spirit, inspired. That is how we become a living being. And so these words of breath and wind, these are words intimately linked to the work of the Spirit in Scripture. We're dependent creatures. And when we forget that we're dependent creatures, things fall apart. That's what happened to that first two of us, Adam and Eve. God made this garden in a wilderness. There they had everything they needed. And yet they listened to a tempter, a snake, the evil one, who turned their trust in their Creator in God into doubt and sin. They sought to cut themselves off from needing God. And with sin came a brokenness of relationships, including having to leave the garden and to be sent east into the wilderness. And Scripture continues to use wilderness to show that that is our condition apart from God. That we're still dependent there on God to sustain us, and it is a gift, but we're no longer in the garden. Apart from God, we are in this hostile, dangerous existence, the wilderness. And so Jesus comes. Jesus comes and is sent by the Spirit into the wilderness, into our condition. And to be where we are, and to face what we have never been able to do. Remain faithful and trusting in God in the wilderness when tempted. Because it's not just Adam and Eve who sinned, it's us. We choose not to go with God's ways in life and instead choose our ways. As though we are not dependent, as though we don't need the breath of God in our lungs to sustain us. As though we as creatures know best. As though we can fool ourselves that we can somehow make a really good go of it in the wilderness of human brokenness and pain and sin. We can't. But God can. And in Jesus, in the power of the Spirit, He comes into our situation. And He does so to offer us a way back to God, to encounter us where we are, and so that we, like Jesus, can be sustained for life and for righteousness and even be renewed in the wilderness times of our lives. Do you ever feel like you're in a wilderness? A place of dryness? Of emptiness, of challenges, of crisis, of feeling like your life is hanging by a thread. Wilderness. Jesus enters the wilderness full of the Spirit. And the same Spirit is in us. We can be filled by the Spirit in the wilderness. We are also filled to be empowered and transformed. So how is it we can experience what Jesus did? To be sustained as Jesus was. It's because the Spirit fills us so that we can be transformed and empowered. God in Jesus takes on our humanity, and it comes into our human reality, experiences hostility and lack and danger and is tempted. But unlike us, Jesus does not sin, like us in every way, yet without sin. Jesus continues to remain faithful, remain pleasing to the Father. He does this by the Spirit, and you and I who want to walk in obedience to the Father, we can too if we are filled with the Spirit. This idea that the Spirit comes and fills us to be empowered and transformed is seen especially in Galatians 5. There Paul writes about how we are free in Christ Jesus. But our freedom isn't to do what we want. We are not free to do what we want. It's instead we are, as Paul writes, that we are freed to serve in love. That is how the Spirit wants to walk us and guide us. For until we come to know Jesus In Galatians 5, we write the flesh. And here that kind of means like our human conditions, the wants and desires that that are sort of like our selfishness and sin instead of the wants and desires of God. But Paul writes that if we walk by the Spirit, we will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are contrary to the Spirit. The flesh has all sorts of desires and outcomes in our lives, but the outcome of the Spirit in our life filling us is that we begin to look like Jesus. Paul tells us that we actually begin to keep the law as we are filled with the Spirit, because we can then love our neighbor. And our lives will look like Jesus' life as the Spirit fills us. For the fruit of the Spirit, the outcome of being filled by the Spirit, is love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control. Against these things there is no law, and those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. We begin to look like Jesus. Jesus in the Spirit, faithful to the Father, walked in joy and love to the cross, bearing our sin and our shame. It was buried with him. And then he rose to new creation life, breathed his Spirit on his disciples, and says, as I was sent, so I send you. So then we too can walk the way of Jesus, the way of his cross, and find joy and love, even when the Spirit is in us, at work crucifying all that would keep us from the joy of the Father, from a faithful life, from being free to be human as Jesus is. Being filled with the Spirit is how we come to practice, how we become in practice to look like Jesus. God pours his Spirit into our lives, a gift to each one who says, I'm going the way of Jesus. And so because we are filled with the Spirit, we have access to the same empowerment to have the righteousness of God be our own. Filled with the Spirit, we are being renewed, transformed to have the ways of God as we keep in step with the Spirit's guidance. And filled with joy. Now there's much more we can say about being filled with the Spirit. We sang a lot about it this morning. Thank you, song leading team, singers and band. It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise. What is that saying? It is your Spirit at work in us, so we worship. I have to keep, when I was preparing this sermon as well, I had to keep being like, no, Chris, don't go too far down that path. There will be other sermons on it, and people will have a chance to hear it later. Because part of what it means to be filled with the Spirit is the things that will come up later in this series. Things like, oh, you'll hear one second, discipline. Things like loving the Father. Things like loving his church. It's to be with Jesus, to become like Jesus means we need to be filled with the Spirit. It's sort of like a core starting place for our faith. And one of the outcomes I do want to focus on this morning is one of those fruit of the Spirit, and that is joy. Because when I think about Jesus' baptism, when I think about his life and ministry, and even when I think about the cross, I think about his joy. And we are filled with the Spirit so that we will come to have joy or enjoy what Jesus enjoyed. What a joy it was for Jesus to hear from the Father, in you I am well pleased. You can picture a new parent showing off photos, right? Oh, you got to see my boy. Right? There is such delight in the Son from the Father, so proud. And as I was preparing this week, I wondered, is that partly why we have all those stories of people being brought to see Jesus as a baby? I know there's other stuff going on, right? But the angels, the visitation of Mary and Elizabeth, the shepherds sharing with everyone they come across, the big pointing star to bring the Magi, and even the animals gathered around to great joy. This message of good news of great joy. A great joy for us, but I think it's also great joy for the Father. Being like Jesus are filled with the Spirit so that we can bask in the same joy that Jesus had with the Father. And this is because in faith we are brought into the same relationship that Jesus had and enjoys with the Father. Now, to get our heads around this, we're going to go to two passages. Some of my favorites, by the way. If you spend time with me, we will eventually talk about these two passages. Matthew 11, 25 and forward to the end of the chapter, and Romans 8. Matthew 11 ends this way. Come to me. This is Jesus speaking. All you who are weary and carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. That is an incredible invitation, and it gets me each time. Again, if I spend time with you, you will hear this come up, especially in difficult circumstances, because this is where I go. When I am carrying heavy burdens and I'm weary, to this invitation of Jesus to come and find rest in him. We find rest in him as we are yoked with Jesus. Picture a team of oxen. There's an experienced one and a newbie. And this new one is learning how to plow the fields and so is yoked to the experienced ox to learn of him. This is the invitation of Jesus. To learn to rest as we walk with Jesus and be changed and shaped to let go of all that wearies us. We can have this joy of resting in the Spirit, who is the very presence of God in our lives. Again, I don't want to go too far down this discipline path because, again, there will be a Sunday coming up that's becoming like Jesus means I'm disciplined. A little sneak peek for you. But there's more here I want to dwell on. Do you ever wonder why it is Jesus uses the language of yoke and burden? Do you ever feel like, Jesus, I'm pretty weary, so if I'm giving you my burdens, I don't want to even take on another one, not even a light one. Does anyone ever wonder that? Oh, come on, I can't be the only one. Okay, thank you. All right, maybe you're maybe making me feel better. That's okay. But also, I'm not like, what is this? And I wondered, I love the invitation, and the grace in it is incredible, and the picture of it is fantastic, but sometimes I have wondered, what is this easy burden that's like you? Oh, sorry. Easy yoke and light burden you're going to put back on me. Well, the burden is the yoke that Jesus has that is light and still finds ways to rest us. Is that Jesus is inviting us to know him as inviting us through him to know the Father as the Son knows the Father. If you just before this invitation in Matthew 11:27. We read Jesus saying this, all things have been committed to me by my Father. No one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son and to those whom the Son chooses to reveal him. What Jesus is saying is, come and learn of me, and I will teach you how to be a true child of God. I'm the beloved Son. I know how to live well in relationship to the Father. And there is joy and there is rest there. That's also what you are made to do, and it's why I am here. So you can come and take upon, you can come with me and I will show you how to live and how to enjoy the Father's very presence. The yoke and the light burden is that we are to become beloved children. To live from this deep conviction that the Father is also well pleased in us, his sons and his daughters. And for that, we need the Spirit. Just as Jesus needed the Spirit to walk in faithful response to the Father's pleasure and joy, so we too are filled with the Spirit to know the Father's pleasure and joy. One of the ways this happens is that we have this joy of assurance in the Spirit. This is what it means to become like Jesus and be filled as he was. From Romans 8, 14 to 17, for those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. The Spirit you receive does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you receive brought you about your adoption to sonship. Now, if we are children, and by him, by the Spirit, we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now, if we are children, then we are heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. If indeed we share in his sufferings in order that we may also share in his glory. The Spirit is at work in us so that we can cry out as Jesus did, Abba, Father. So we can know God as Jesus does, as Abba, Father. And the Spirit is this witness, this testimony in us that we truly are with God, that we are his children, his beloved ones, sons and the daughters filled with the Spirit in Christ who bring the Father pleasure. All that Jesus has is now shared with us. And the Spirit is poured in as a witness that we really are a part of what God is doing, that we are redeemed, that we are saved, that we are forgiven, that we are welcomed in, that we are adopted and given the full benefits of our elder brother Jesus. We have this joy of assurance being filled with the Spirit that we really are part of God's new creation family in Jesus. There is also being filled with the Spirit, this joy of redemptive purpose and prayer. The Spirit moving in us so that we can call God as Father is this testimony that we are his children, but it's also this way that we actually join in the sufferings of Christ. Now again, I'm not going to go too far down this path. That's another sermon in this series. But that we cooperate, that in our flesh our sin is crucified, that we bear faithfully to the trials and pain and injustice of this world, that we walk the way of the cross. And as we do this, as we share in the sufferings of Jesus, we will also share in his glory. And in this, as we become like Jesus, as we encounter and engage with the brokenness of this world and this sin, there is redemptive work. And there's joy in this. Paul continues in Romans 8 to write how all of creation is groaning for redemption. And we too groan. And this weakness of being human in a world beset by evil and sin and death, he writes, we do not know how we ought to pray. But the Spirit himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. And he, the Father, who searches our hearts, knows the mind of the Spirit. Because the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance with the will of God. And joining in the sufferings of Jesus, the groanings for redemption in creation, the Spirit is praying through us. The Spirit is interceding through you. And the Father hears as he searches, listens, and knows the voice of the Spirit. In you, in us, God is at work, filling us, so that in us, all the wrong and injustice, all the things that bring about groaning in this world like sin and evil and death, all these longings for things to be made right may be prayed perfectly through us as the Spirit indwells us. And the Father hears. We are filled to be like Jesus who engages and encounters and enters the human condition to bear it all to the Father, to make a way for redemption. Jesus was filled with the Spirit to do so. And because he has made a way, and because we are in him, his Spirit indwells us with the same ministry of being a vessel of prayer and redemption. There is joy in that for us. Now, the next line in Romans 8, you might know it very well. Romans 8, 28. In all things God works for good for those who love him, who are been called according to his purpose. Comes right on the heels of that groaning in the Spirit, that prayer that the Spirit is doing in us. And I want to suggest something to you. There's the four here is a tricky little word. And I want to suggest that following everything that Paul has said about so far, about the life of the Spirit in Romans 8, and holding up what it is that Jesus does for us, that this second four, the one that I have kind of bolded and underlined, that we translate it differently. That instead of the second four being for, we actually use through. That in all things God works good through those who love him, who are called according to his purpose. We are being filled with his Spirit, made into his children, to know him as the as Father as Jesus did, and who enjoy and love and engage in the brokenness of this world, bearing it always in prayer, oftentimes in other ways as well, so that in his people, in you, in me, the Father is shaping us to become like Jesus, who in the faithful suffering, good may come through it. That through us, God is working good. You are filled so that through you, God will work good. That's an incredible gift. So we are filled with the prayers of the Spirit. We are filled with redemption hope, and there is joy in this for us, as it was joyful for Jesus. Becoming like Jesus means we are filled. Same Spirit. Filled so we can be empowered and transformed to live faithfully. Filled because we are creatures who are dependent on our Creator. Filled so that we may have joy as we come to love and be the beloved of the Father, enjoying the pleasure of God as Jesus does. Assured of our place in his family and with redemptive purpose and prayer, we are becoming like Jesus, filled as he is, so that we can evermore have the love and the delight of the Father lavished on us. Church, may we live for and live out this joy we can experience being filled with the Spirit, joining with Jesus and hearing, "This is my son. This is my daughter. You are my child. I am so pleased with you, delighted in you, proud of you." Let us pray. Oh, Father, what a gift you give us in your Spirit. Fill us, I pray, each day for what we need of the Spirit. And Spirit, remind us each day to seek your presence, because we need you like we need the breath in our lungs. We're dependent on you. And so, Father, give your Spirit to hold us fast, to set us right, and through us work prayerfully your redemptive work as we cry out in prayer to you, our Father, the groanings of this world. Oh, Father, I pray that as we do, being filled with your Spirit, being transformed into the likeness of your Son, that we would find our glory and joy to bask and find our purpose in hearing you say, "This is my child. Wow, I'm such a proud and pleased Father." Amen.